Lori held herself erect to demonstrate how wrong I was. She was in control, not reacting wildly out of emotion. In a comforting tone, Jonathan said, "Lori, all I can tell you is that if they do try to raise that as an issue, we'll fight it tooth and nail. It's insane." Jonathan snorted and shook his head, which for a soft-spoken guy like him was a rather violent outburst. And even now, looking back on that moment when the idea of a murder gene was first raised, by Lori of all people, I feel my back stiffen. I feel the anger ooze up my spine. The murder gene was not just a contemptible idea and a slander, though it absolutely was both of those things. It also offended me as a lawyer. I saw right away the backwardness of it, the way it warped the real science of DNA and the genetic component of behavior, and overlaid it with the junk science of sleazy lawyers, the cynical, science-light language whose actual purpose was to manipulate juries, to fool them with the sheen of scientific certainty. The murder gene was a lie, a lawyer's con game. It was also a deeply subversive idea. It undercut the whole premise of the criminal law. In court, the thing we punish is the criminal intention, the mens rea, the guilty mind. There is an ancient rule, actus non facit reum nisi mens sit rea. The act does not create guilt unless the mind is also guilty. That is why we do not convict children, drunks, and schizophrenics. They are incapable of deciding to commit their crimes with a true understanding of the significance of their actions. Free will is as important to the law as it is to religion or any other code of morality. We do not punish the leopard for its wildness. Would Lejeudis have the balls to make the argument anyway? Born bad? I was sure he would try. Whether or not it was good science or good law, he would whisper it in the jury's ear like a gossip passing a secret. He would find a way. In the end, Lori was right, of course. The murder gene would haunt us, if not quite the way she anticipated. But in that first meeting, Jonathan and I, trained in the humanist tradition of the law, instinctively rejected it. We laughed it off. The idea had got a hold of Lori's imagination, though, and Jacob's too. My son's jaw literally hung open. "Is somebody going to tell me what you guys are talking about?" "Jake," I began. But the words did not come. "What? Somebody tell me." "My father is in prison. He has been for a long time."
"But you never knew your father."
"That's not entirely true."
"But you said. You've always said."
"I did. I said. I'm sorry for that. I never really knew him, that was true. But I knew who he was.